I invite you to turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 8. Writing to Christians in Ephesians 5, verse 8, Paul writes, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" As we come to these verses, let's go to God in prayer first, shall we? Lord, we come to you this morning. Again, asking, Lord, that this not be an ancient bunch of writing that we just look at for half hour or so. But Lord, may these be words from your mouth to our hearts. Lord, help us to grow in our walk as your disciples. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Paul began this letter to the Ephesians, at least this part of the letter to the Ephesians, with the words found back in verse 1 of chapter 5. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Most of us know, children naturally imitate their parents. In my last church, there was a man who repaired garbage trucks. He was a big, strong man, and he walked like one. You know, he kind of waddles back and forth kind of stuff. One Sunday, as I was standing up on the platform, I watched him come down the center aisle. And behind him was his five-year-old son, walking just like his dad. You know, children imitate their parents. As children of God, Paul wrote that Christians should walk in a way that imitates their heavenly Father. Last week, we saw the first way we are to imitate God is in love. Christians are to walk in love. In today's scripture, Paul charged his readers to live, or as other translations write, walk as children of light. That is, walk in light. In Psalm 27, verse 1, David wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." God is light. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." God's word is also called light. In John 1:9, Jesus is called the true light that gives light to every man. For a believer to imitate God, he obviously must share in and reflect God's light. In Scripture, light really has two connotations, an intellectual part and a moral part. Intellectually, light represents truth. Morally, light represents holiness. Therefore, to live or walk in light means to walk in truth and in holiness. The figure of darkness has the same two parts, intellectual and moral. Intellectually, darkness represents ignorance and falsehood. Morally, darkness represents evil. Isaiah 5, verse 20 describes those who walk in darkness. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." On the other hand, everyone who belongs to God must walk in light, both intellectually and morally. Turn back to 1 John, way back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 1, begin verse 5. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 goes like this. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Christians must walk in light. In today's scripture, the few verses we read, Paul gave five characteristics of walking in light, beginning with a contrast of what we were and what we are. Paul began by considering what every believer's life was like before salvation. That is, what we were. He wrote, "You were once in darkness." This is past tense. This is a condition that no longer exists. Before a person becomes a Christian, he's a child of the devil and is characterized by walking in darkness. In Matthew 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." Luke 16:13 adds, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." There are only two possibilities. Every person is either a child of the devil or a child of God. The Bible gives at least four traits of spiritual darkness. First, it's the work of Satan. Spiritual darkness is the work of Satan. Jesus said in John 8, verse 44, that those who are not the children of God are the children of their father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire, that is, your father's work, the work of Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. Spiritual darkness, intellectually and morally, is the work of Satan. Second, spiritual darkness is the domain of Satan. Again, spiritual darkness is the domain of Satan. In Acts 26:18, Satan is called the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he," that is Jesus, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." The unbeliever is under the dominion of darkness, that is Satan. Contrary to the lies of Satan, the believer, the unbeliever, is totally bound and imprisoned by Satan through sin. Fallen man thinks he's free only because he agrees with what Satan wants. The unbeliever is in Satan's dominion or domain. Third, spiritual darkness brings God's wrath. Spiritual darkness brings God's wrath. Ephesians 5:6 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." And finally, spiritual darkness leads to the ultimate destiny of eternal darkness and eternity in hell. In Matthew 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "The subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The world is unjust, wicked, corrupt, and hopeless. There's constant compulsion to deceive, to lie, to steal, to kill, to do every other kind of evil. Yet, when escape from this darkness is offered through Jesus Christ, many refuse, some even run away, because Jesus' righteousness and goodness revealed their sin and their wickedness. Turn to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 19. Again, Gospel of John chapter 3, beginning verse 19. Jesus said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." But by comparison, verse 21 says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been through God." This is the state of every person before he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were in darkness. Contrasting what they were, Paul then wrote, "But now you are light in the Lord." Writing to fellow Christians, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Christians have been delivered from the domain of darkness and all of its traits, all of its characteristics. Now, as Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world." because we are in the Lord, we who were once children of darkness are now children of light. Now as we imitate our Father, we should walk in light. And Paul gave three characteristics or fruit of walking in light, beginning with goodness. Goodness. Goodness is love, agape love, sacrificial love, if you please, in action. Again, goodness is agape love in action. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that no one repays evil for evil. On the contrary, always try to do good to each other, indeed to everyone." In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, Paul prayed that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Goodness, love in action, is fruit of light. It's also the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. The second characteristic or fruit of walking in light is righteousness. Righteousness means rightness of character before God and rightness of actions before all men. It's really how we live before God and before man. Again, righteousness is right acts before God and man. Romans 6:13 says, "Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." 1 John 2:29 adds, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." Goodness, righteousness, and the third characteristic or fruit of walking in light is truth. It's truth. In contrast to the deceptive, hypocritical, lying ways of the old life of darkness, the Christian should be known for his honesty, his reliability, his integrity as he walks in light. These three characteristics, goodness, righteousness, and truth, are the fruit of the light. Without fruit, there's no evidence of life in God or of God. A Christian can fall into sin, and when he does, the fruitfulness of his life will suffer. Righteous fruit cannot flourish in the midst of sin. We need to confess our sins to God and not wallow in poisonous sinfulness. The Christian life is only healthy when it's growing. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." As Christians, we should be constantly growing in our walk. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Peter writes, "For this very reason, make every effort to add." It's our duty to help grow. "Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." To accomplish this, to grow as a Christian, Paul wrote in verse 10 back in Ephesians, "Find out what pleases the Lord." And to find out what pleases God, one needs to study his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth," God's truth. Paul then gave a command. It's hard to see in the English. But it is a command to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. That is, have nothing to do with sin. We can't witness to a world if we don't go out into the world. And we can't go far into the world without coming into contact with all kinds of sin and wickedness. But we are never to compromise God's standards or give sin an opportunity to take hold of our lives. Jesus ministered to tax collectors, prostitutes, other sinners, but remained sinless. We as Christians are to have nothing to do with sin. To compromise God's standards is to weaken our witness as well as our personal character. Paul was saying that when walking in light, no act of unrighteousness or sin is permissible. Christians who are to produce the righteous fruit of light are to have nothing to do at all with unfruitful deeds of darkness. Christians are to be in the world, but not of the world. Paul emphasized this in his letter to the Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Begin verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 begins like this. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial or the devil? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Paul got a little more particular back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, where he wrote, But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother, a Christian, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an adulterer or slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. That's a command. Have nothing to do with sin. But Christians aren't to light a lamp and then put it under a bushel. So Paul gave a commission to all Christians. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This is the commission. Expose sin. Through their conduct and character, Christians are to bring God's light into a dark world. Sometimes, just living a Christian life, walking in light, exposes the darkness and sin around the Christian. The light reveals the truth and exposes the true character of things. Jesus said, Let your light shine before men. This is why some unsaved people stay clear of God's church and the Bible and even some Christians. But sometimes the example of a Christian's life will be enough to stop sinfulness and unwholesome talk and falsehood. Simply refusing to participate in some sinful business or social practice will be rebuke enough. But sometimes a silent witness is not enough. Jesus said in John 15, verse 22, If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. And for this reason, men hated Jesus, the light of the world, and some will hate Christians just as well. But failure to speak out against and opposing evil things is a failure to obey God. Believers are to espouse or expose sin in whatever legitimate biblical ways are necessary. Love that does not openly expose and oppose sin is not biblical love. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6 says, Love is not rude, it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. James adds in James 5:19, My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Just as bearing fruit is the responsibility of every Christian, Exposing and opposing sin is the responsibility of every Christian. Paul gave caution, a warning about dealing with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. He wrote, "For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." One needs to be careful how he exposes filthy things of darkness. Sometimes he may unconsciously advertise and even promote the sin. Some things are so spiritually disgraceful or dangerous that they should be sealed off, not only from direct contact, but even from conversation. Sin should be exposed only to the extent necessary to get rid of it. Walk in light. The contrast, what we were was walking in darkness. Spiritual darkness is the work of Satan. It's also the domain of Satan. And it brings God's wrath. And spiritual darkness leads to an eternity in hell. What we are now, believers, are light in the Lord. Characteristics are goodness, agape love in action, righteousness is right acts before God and man, and truth, honesty, reliability, trustworthiness. Again, Paul gave the command, have nothing to do with sin. And the commission was to expose sin. And finally, Paul closed this section with a challenge, a call to Christians. Christians aren't to be comfortable or sleeping in sin. They are no longer walking in darkness and death. And just as water baptism has testified, believers have been raised from the dead to a new life through faith in Jesus Christ. The darkness of the grave of death is past. We are now walking in the light of salvation. Salvation is the beginning of a new day. And Christians ought to live as those who belong to the light and not to darkness. This is Paul's call to every Christian. Walk in light, not in darkness. Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So I guess my challenge this morning is, what about your walk? Do you walk as a child of God? What kingdom does your life, your actions, your words, your thoughts represent? The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light? Are the fruits of goodness, righteousness, and truth evident in your life? Are you growing in your Christian walk? Are you the light of the world? Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." What about your life? Are you shining bright like the beginning of day? Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to walk as children of light. Help us not to put our light under a bushel, although, Lord, sometimes it's tempting because we don't want all the issues with people. Lord, help us to stand tall for you. Help our lives to shine light. And Lord, when necessary, put the right words into our mouth that people may come to know who you are, Lord, and change their lives too. Lord, may we walk in light and in love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.